Amen. Now, Kids Church, you're not dismissed. You are invited on the stage up here with me. All right? Come on up. Pretend like I'm dismissing you, but I need you all up here on this stage here. Come on up. We don't need music. I'm going to do this up here. All right. Now, let's see here. Who else? Do we got anybody missing? Yeah, Brad, get up here. You know. Okay. All right. Now, we need to make sure everybody can see you. All right. Now, here is a bunch of great kids that I am so thankful that are a part of our church family. Your little Connor. Your name is Rylan. We have Rylan, we have Jolie, and we have Macy and Callie and Lexi. Get that smiling face out there. There it is. If you want a hug, if you need a hug in our church family, Lexi's your girl. And there's Callie, and is that Izzy? And we have Addie and Oliver and Ellie. And we have Natalie and Bryce and Aiden. And we have Riley and Liam. Wait, nope, Jaden, sorry. I did pretty well all the way to there. And I wanted to say something to you guys. And what I want to say is this. Sometimes you all drive us crazy. There's some clapping. I haven't heard clapping here ever, and they're clapping about that. But we know that sometimes we drive you crazy, don't we? Have you ever heard me yell, "Stop running in the church"? Yes, all the time. Now, you know that I want you to stop running, not because we're no fun here, but because we just don't want you to get hurt or hurt somebody else. Now, I bring you on stage because I want to say one really important thing to you and one important thing to all of us, okay? And that is that, did you guys know that one day you're going to be the leaders of our church? Can you believe that? Aiden, your grandpa just gave the communion meditation. Did you know that your grandpa used to drive everybody crazy in the church? Now, there's some great young men. When I first came here, Michael and Matthew and Justin, he's downstairs, he's serving. But when we first arrived, Michael and Matthew were about your age, and they showed us through the parsonage. And they have been a part of my life ever since, and they've been great young men. But you know what? They used to drive me crazy too. It's your job to drive us crazy. It's our job to drive you crazy. But you know what? We're in this thing together, and we want you to know that we think of you as the future leaders. And you know, we want to tell you the very most important thing on our heart is that you guys would know, above and beyond everything, that Jesus loves you, that Jesus died on the cross for you, and he cares about who you are. And we want to do everything we can as a church to make sure you know that you are loved and you are a part of our family. And we hope that you guys have a great time down in Kids Church, and you guys matter so much to us. And we just want to say thanks for being a part of our family, because you guys keep us young. Otherwise, we would be no fun, would we? But you guys are the life. You guys are our life and joy. You guys make us so proud. And we hope that you guys have a great time downstairs. And we're so thankful you're a part of our family. Who did I forget? Oh, Jacob. Jacob's right here. Yeah, they're okay. You guys are what matter the most. All right, so you guys go ahead and go downstairs. But thank you for being up here. As we continue our series, walking through the Bible, we are going to pick up in the book of Deuteronomy. When you read the book of Deuteronomy, it really reads a lot better than, like, when you get through Leviticus and Numbers. Like, when you get to Deuteronomy, there's finally some, like, breathing room. Like, okay, there's not too many more rules here. But it's if you read it for what it is, it's this message that God has laid on Moses' heart. God has said, Moses, this is it for you. This is as far as our journey is going to go. And the Israelites are going to go into this land. And you're not going with them. You've been leading these guys all of these years. You've gotten them through this 40-year journey. And Moses is like, all right, what is on my heart? What is it that I need to share with this congregation, this nation, as they finally go into the land that God is giving them? And so if you were to think about this, if you were Moses, put yourself in Moses' shoes, and you were to start thinking like, I've spent so much time with these people, they've driven me absolutely crazy, and you know, Moses has not had an easy journey with these folks, but here he is, and he has to sort of have this complete sort of trust, knowing, okay, I'm sending them in. God's going with them. Caleb, he can do this. Joshua, he can do this. I can trust in this next generation. Deuteronomy is the heart of Moses and God on display about what he wants for Israel and his people. This is Moses sort of pouring out his heart. What do I want this people to know? And when I first read Deuteronomy, and all the times I've ever read Deuteronomy, I would have told you that this is what Moses said. Don't forget God and always obey him. That's what I always would have said. And then I got my socks knocked off me this week as I was studying, and I realized that's only part of the story. If you were to read Deuteronomy again with this information, I think some light bulbs will go off for you, as they did for me. The point of Deuteronomy, the heart of Moses in this book, is saying, let's not forget to pass this along to the next generation. Let us never forget the importance of sharing what God has done, and always remember that the next generation is going to need to know this story and pass it along to the next generation. Now you're saying, aha, now I know why he brought those kids up and did that, right? That we would always remind ourselves and put in front of ourselves, saying that this group of kids that was up here, that they matter so much to us in our future. Sometimes in the church, we get very introspective on what it is that we want. And maybe each and every one of those kids ran by you and you just wanted to flog them, and I praise you that you didn't. Way to show self-discipline. But the one thing that I've been so proud of and so thankful for is your heart for the next generation. For your willingness to say, it's not about me. It's about these kids who are coming up, and we're so excited and thrilled to be able to send more than a dozen kids downstairs to hear about Christ. We're so grateful that we have a generation to pass the message along to. When Jesus finishes preaching his sermon in Matthew, he says, surely I'm with you to the very end of the age, but he commissions the church to go and make disciples of all people and all nations. And when I read the book of Deuteronomy, what I read as a Christian is not only from nation to nation are we to spread the gospel, but from generation to generation do we share the good news of who Christ is, of what he's done for us. And so this morning I want to spend time in Deuteronomy 6. Because Moses actually lays out instruction for us about how we would pass our faith on to the next generation. And as I read it, you can't help but have your toes stepped on a little bit, and you may even have a little bit of bruising after this morning, and it's only in these, it's only done out of love that I need these challenges in my own life, that I would remember how important it is to pass my faith on to the next generation. This week was the celebration of life of Billy Graham, one of the greatest influences in North America and around the world for passing his faith on to the next generation. I wrote a little blip on Facebook because people were really putting a lot of emphasis on Billy Graham, and that's great. He deserves it. But for me, I wanted to point a light on the people who made the most impact in my life, who the Billy Graham was in my own life, the people who shared their life with me. it's providential that my very best friend growing up is right there, Megan. And her, God, grief. Her mom and dad, I posted that on Facebook. I said, share who your Billy Graham was and tell them thank you. And I wrote her parents. Mike and Kim, they mean the world to me. And so many kids, through youth group and just loving kids and sharing their faith with them, being this amazing example. It's about the next generation. It's about investing and loving and caring and telling people this story. The story of God who's said, I'm not giving up on his creation. No matter what they've done, no matter how they've turned their back against me, this unrelenting and patient love of God who has poured out his life for all of us. And we get to tell people about that. We get to live it with our hearts and our being. It's who we are. It's what we are together. It's what we get to do is tell people about God. And so, who's the Billy Graham in your life? Who's the person that took the time to tell you that Jesus loves you and he died on the cross for you? Come and believe in him and have life in him. Who is that person for you? And the challenge on my heart always is, who will I tell? Who will it be the next person that I tell? The next person that I love, the next person I point towards the goodness of God and his kingdom, that there's a life for them. Deuteronomy 6. We're going to read it. I'm going to get myself together up here. Good grief. Deuteronomy 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and that so that you may enjoy a long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God of your ancestors promised you. And here's the most important scripture that a Jew would tell you. They recite it morning and evening and throughout their day. It's called the Shema. It's, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to the test, as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations? What is the meaning of these decrees and the laws of the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, tell your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out from Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. Way back in verse 2, we get the heart of this message. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of these decrees and the commands that I give you today, so that you may enjoy a long life. I'd like the rest of this message to be immensely practical, but rooted in God's plan. Moses encourages this generation to pass their faith along to the next. And God, I think, calls us through Christ to pass our faith along from one nation to the next nation, one generation to the next generation, about who Christ is and what he's done. In your sermon notes this morning, I've just taken what Moses' points were and I've just laid them out there. That you would, one, keep the commands on your heart. I can't expect the next generation to keep anything that I'm not willing to keep myself. That if I'm not spending time in God's Word, how can I expect it of my children? How can I expect it of those who I share my faith with? That this is something that I would impress upon my children. That I would talk to them when I sit at home and when I walk on the road with them or driving down the road. That I would, as I am spending time with my children, I would talk to them about what God is doing in my life. That what God has done for me. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. I think that we just all need to have bracelets, you know, or something. I don't know. I'm not worried about that as much as figuratively. When my children look me in the eye and when they see my life, do they see that I love Christ and I'm devoted to him? Do they see it when they look at you? Write it on the door frames of your house and your gates. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. This is your, God commissioned you to go to Hobby Lobby and fill your home with scripture and put it on your walls. Let the word of God overflow from your heart and be written figuratively and physically on the walls of your home. May they see the word of God in your life and may they see it in their homes and their bedrooms. May they wake up and see it inscribed in your home. When we have sought comfort and a secured life for ourselves, Moses cautions and he says, we best not forget that what God has done for us. We are to be careful and cautious that we do not forget the Lord. Sometimes we get so comfortable in our world that we forget how we've gotten where we are. The blessing and love of Christ. And Moses cautions this people, you guys are going to go in, the houses are going to be given to you, you're going to be eating out of all of the harvest that they've all done, and you haven't done a single thing, and you're going to think, boy, am I great. Don't forget what the Lord has done for you. May our homes be places where we remember what God has done for us. We need to get rid of that which steals our worship and our devotion. The best way to confuse our children, the best way to steer your children away from God and the church is to say one thing about a commitment to God and live in contradiction to it. Don't be surprised that our children end up worshiping a different God when all we have ever modeled for them is a plurality of faith in our own lives, of divided loyalties to King Jesus. When multiple gods are worshipped in our home, don't be surprised when Jesus isn't the one our children choose. If you choose to worship the convenience of your life, if you choose to worship money, if you pursue all of the freedoms and all of the technology, all of the devices, if our life becomes the consumption of all of these things, then certainly we can expect that our children will follow suit, that they will steal your children's devotion and attention as well. I told you I was going to step on some toes here. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, he says. Teach your children that you are living for God that he's the focal point of your decisions, that he is the basis of your moral goodness. Show your children what is right. Talk to them about how God shapes your worldview, how you look at this world, your actions, your commitment, your kindness, your love, your truth. If you want the next generation to see God, let them see it in you and how you love and care for people. When your children ask you questions, be ready with an answer. At the end of Moses' message there, the son asks, what is the meaning of all of this? Why are you following these rules? And it wasn't because God said so. It was because God has loved me. The heart of their obedience, the heart of what they are doing, is because God has shown up in their lives and has delivered them. We need a better answer to our children when they say, when they ask, why do we have to go to church this week? It's not because Jordan said so, though it should count for something. It's not because God says so. It's not because if you showed up this morning that you get a special blessing and that you get to go to heaven this week and God's got a tally chart. The reason I showed up this morning is because a Savior died for me. And every bit of me wants to say, Jesus is my Lord and my King. And I want to do it with people that I love and care about deeply. I want to do that with my whole life, and I want to tell my children, I'm here today because Christ died on the cross for me, and he was raised from the dead. He was raised on the first day of the week, and we are loved by him, and I want to start my week remembering that with the people who feel the very same way. They love him. They are seeking him. God was faithful, and we're faithfully pursuing him. I go to church. We go to church, son, because we love our community. And we care for our neighbor. And we're seeking first the kingdom of God together and our life together because God has been faithful to us. He has sought us, he's bought us, he's loved us, he's redeemed us. I'm here because God loves me. That's what we tell the next generation. That's what we tell our children. That's what we tell ourselves when we wake up and we're thinking, boy, it'd be a nice Sunday to sleep in. I think that every week, actually, if I'm honest. If we could start church at 4 in the afternoon, I think that would be better. But we do it in the morning, and that's fine. I can't change that. Bigger fish to fry. I'll suck it up. But friends, this is the heart of Moses' message. We think so often, and hear this, we think so often that our righteousness is rooted in obedience. If we do this, and we do this, and we do this, then somehow we are found righteous. You are found righteous by what Christ has done for you on the cross. And the heart of Moses' message is this, that yes, it's tied to the obedience. But what he says in this text is the very most important thing for us. The measuring stick for success from this message is, have you passed your faith on to the next generation? If you want to be found righteous, according to Deuteronomy 6, in the view of Moses is, will you pass this information on to the next generation? Will you make it the priority of your heart to worship God only? When we start wrestling with how do we worship God only, I was thinking about this. We know how to do it. We just need to replace whatever team it is that we've been loyal to all our lives. You want to know what it looks like to love Jesus? You want to know what it looks like to worship no other gods? Bring a Cardinals flag into a Cubs house. That's fighting words, is it not? Renee, you're shaking your head like I'm onto something. We know how to root out those things that contradict what we believe. I tolerate you Chicago Bear fans. I'm a Detroit Lions guy, all right? I will tolerate you some, but, you know, it's hard for me to invite you into my home. We know how to eradicate our homes of the riffraff of bad teams. Sorry, that's terrible. We have that skill set, and I promise you, you have the heart within yourself to know what it is that's eating away at your heart, eating away at the things that keep you from being devoted to Jesus Christ. you have the capacity because you have God's Spirit in you to lead you and help you. I'm not going to tell you what thing it is that you're chasing, because I trust and know that God's Spirit will work in your life to say, you know what? This thing is stealing my worship. And if it's stealing my worship, it's showing something to my kids about what really matters to me. If we're going to pass to the next generation how important Jesus Christ is, we need to make sure he's important in the first place in our own hearts and our own walk. If all our children ever see is a plurality of faith and loyalties to so many different things other than Christ, they will pick up on it. Friends, we have to say today that Christ will be the devotion of our hearts and model it for the next generation so that we can pass this message on from one generation to the next. When Peter started the church preaching his sermon at Pentecost, when he finished up, he said, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this." This is Acts 2:36. "Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When Peter finished his message, these are his words, and may they resonate in your heart this morning. The promise is for you. The promise is for you. And it's for your children, and it's for all who are far, far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. He called you to a faith in Christ. He called these children to a faith in Christ. And from one generation to the next, one nation to the next, we are called to be faithful in sharing our faith in him. Would you commit to loving the next generation to Christ? Thinking about our own walk and our own devotion, our own allegiance, will we pass our faith to the next generation? That's our challenge. Let's love them to the kingdom. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, your goodness, your love, your grace, your kindness, all of it displayed on the cross is the root of our salvation. As Barry so wonderfully shared and encouraged us this morning, that the value of the atonement of Christ is everlasting. It never is diminished. It's never changed. Lord, that your goodness displayed on the cross is exactly what we need. God, forgive us where we have had divided loyalties. Forgive us where we have lived in contradiction to what we believe to be true. Forgive us for all of the times that we've fallen short, that we've had our worship and devotion stolen by things that are shiny or taking our attention. Lord, let us root out from our lives those things that would lead us away from you. And I ask, God, that you would do this through your Spirit. Where it needs to be gentle, we pray the Spirit's gentleness. Where it needs to be abrupt and just cold turkey, God, give us the strength and community and love together through your Spirit to root out what we shouldn't be worshiping. God, because we want to give it all to you. We want to surrender every bit of our heart, every bit of our hopes, every bit of our dreams, and we want to lay it all before you and say, use us, your people. And may we take this message to the next generation. Lord, may we have hearts for them and love for them and do what's best for them. Not what's easy, not what's attention-grabbing, not what's whatever is the latest and greatest tool from the latest and greatest publisher, from the latest and greatest teaching, but what is steadfast, true, and faithful and good. May we feed it to our children and nourish their hearts and souls, that the next generation and the generation after would know of Christ and his love. Lead your church and let us love and seek you with all that we are. God, for our families, for all of the parents in this room, for all of the grandparents, for all of those who care for kids, for all of those who want kids, will one day have kids, who are kids. We pray for all of us, God, that we would be the ones who pass our faith on to the next generation. That there would be one person in our life this week that we could tell Jesus loves them and lead them to you. Help us, God, to see the need in our own lives to walk faithfully and in our own walk to share it with others. Lead your church, Lord. Love us and care for us. Fill our hearts with all we need. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the worship team is going to come up this morning, and I just